Welcome to our episode of Revenue Chat. Today we have Wally Alopage, founder of Right Side Trading, a stock market trading school, who says, the stock market is like a huge ATM machine. All you need to know is how to read the access code. His students range from young to old, and they rave about how he's simplified the complex nature of the market in a way that regular traders, with or without a background in the stock market, can understand and trade with confidence. Wally provides simplified stock market insights with us next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony Gerso with Revenue Chat, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. With us, we have Wally Alopage, who helps people understand the simplicity of the stock market. I know that sounds like an oxymoron. Is how can stocks be simple? But Wally has some serious stats under his belt. First, he's the senior instructor and founder of Right Side Trading, a stock market trading school that focuses on technical analysis of the stock market. They have no affiliations to Wall Street. Instead, they are regular individual traders like you. In July of 2015, Wally correctly predicted the global market crash of August 2015 and warned his students about it ahead of time. And again, in September of 2015, in an article on Yahoo Finance, Wally accurately predicted the huge plunge in price of Best Buy stock. Within less than 3 weeks, the value of Best Buy shares plunged as reports of insider selling surfaced in the media. Articles about Wally and his analysis have been featured on financial websites such as Yahoo Finance, Google Finance, Benzinga, WikiInvest, and more. He's also been a guest and expert speaker about the stock market on various radio talk shows and online conferences. As mentioned previously, his students range from young to old, and they rave about how he simplified the complex nature of the market in a way that regular traders, with or without a background in the stock market, can understand and trade with confidence. Wally's site is rightsidetrading.com. All right, get ready for Wally to help simplify the stock market for us. Hello, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tony. Thank you so much for such a wonderful introduction. I appreciate that. Wow, you make me feel like I'm the greatest guy in the whole wide world.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, you're pretty darn good, because I tell you right now, I've had some forays in the stock market here and there. I think when all was told, I was on the up positive side, but boy, it was brutal. So very happy to have you on. For someone that's made it, and not only has made it, but you teach others, I think that's really cool. So
thank you.
So you're welcome. So let's get into this, Wally. You're really good, as we just mentioned. How did it all start for you, please?
Yes, very good question. You know, if you don't mind, I'm going to take it back just a little bit before my trading career actually began. My story was that I was involved in real estate right after college, and this was like around the 2004-2005 era. And of course, everybody knows, if they knew anything about the real estate market during that time, real estate market was booming. It was what everybody wanted to do, and I was no exception. Got involved. Long story short, we all know what happened in 2007-2008. The market collapsed. So did real estate. And so did everything I owned. I mean, I lost everything. And like I tell everybody, I said the only thing I kept was my wife, literally. I lost my house, lost my car, lost my job, lost everything, lost my employees, everything. Okay. The only thing I had was my wife. And when we moved out of our house, we moved into a one-bedroom apartment that we were fortunate to even have anybody let us in, because our credit was totally, totally shattered. I told my wife, I said, you know, we can rebuild this back up again. I said, we've done it once through real estate. We can do this back again. We were still young at the time. Fast forward, I got involved in trying to do mergers and acquisitions. I have an accounting background. I went to school for accounting and all that stuff. But I had a lot of problems trying to raise the money to do these acquisitions that I was trying to do. And I talked to a lot of investors. I had a great idea. I knew how to do the numbers and everything, but nobody wanted to invest in me. Okay. So I just got tired of it. And I said, you know what? I got to go raise this money by myself. And so I said, what else can I do to raise this money to own my own business? Because I didn't want to have to start from scratch. I've already started up multiple companies. Didn't want to start all over again. So in that process, I said, you know, there's one thing I still don't know about. I know about real estate. I know about businesses and all that stuff. But the one thing I still don't know about is the stock market. So I decided to get involved in the stock market. Had no clue what the stock market was like. But I said, you know what? The same way I learned about real estate and the same way I learned about business, the same way I learned about accounting was the same way I was going to approach the stock market. And that's literally what I did. And so from there, I started taking some classes. I actually went to school, took some classes in school to get the foundation. But then from there, I did something that most people don't do in the stock market. And that is I started putting a business mindset behind the whole idea of buying and selling stocks. And once I started doing that, it literally changed the way I trade the stock market.
Wow. That's very interesting. Where did the name Right Side Trading come from in your business? Does that have to do with the stocks that you've learned? Like, because when I think of right side trading, I think of, well, what's the wrong side? What's the right side? So explain that.
Sure. Very good question. And I'm actually glad that you asked that question, because that's really what the name, why I created that name, to invoke that mentality. Is like, what does that mean? You know, the right side of the chart. Okay, so let me back up again just a little bit. When I started going to school and I started learning how to trade the stock market, and anybody that's ever traded the stock market, and even before I started trading the stock market, my skepticism was nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, okay? And so it was one of those things like, okay, yeah, you hear all these great stories about all these people that made money in the stock market, but then it was one of those things that was going to happen tomorrow. Can you repeat the same process again the next day or the next month or the next year? And that was always a good question. So to me, one of the fascinating things was I always used to say, how do these people know what's going to happen, you know, in a week from now, a month from now? Do they have a crystal ball that they using to like see what the future is telling them? And my curiosity led me to say, hey, I wanted to know what these guys knew. And so in my search of learning how to trade the stock market, one of my biggest frustrations was the fact that every one of these instructors out there that would say anything about the stock market would always talk about what they did in hindsight, okay? And if you were to ever pull up a chart of a stock, they would look to the left-hand side of that chart, which is what happened in the past. And they would say, see, right here on this day, if you had got in. And when they show in that chart, if I could paint a picture for you, it would be where you see the going up to a certain level and come down to a certain level. And so when it came down and right when it turned and reversed and went all the way back up again, they will point to that bottom part, that most bottom part. And they say, look, if you had bought at this bottom part right here, look at how much money you would have made. Okay. And it was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But it's like, well, when we were back then, that bottom part, and we didn't know what the future was going to hold, what could have told me that I should be buying on that day? Okay. In hindsight, it's very easy. But going into the future, it's very difficult to determine, is this the bottom that we should be buying or not? And so I looked at that and I said, you know what? That looks more like the left side of the chart. And unfortunately, the left side of the chart is history. And I cannot make money based off of history. What I need to do is learn how to make money going forward because, you know, let's be honest with each other. I can tell you everything that happened with whatever stock, but today is today. The only way you make money is if you buy today and see how it does tomorrow. We don't buy today and see how it did yesterday to make money. We buy today and see what it does tomorrow. That determines whether we're going to make money or not. So when you're looking at it, the reason why we came up with the name Right Side Trading is because I said, you know what? If I'm looking at this chart today, and this is the last day right here today, the right side of that chart is tomorrow and beyond. What is this stock going to do tomorrow and beyond? Because depending on what the stock can do tomorrow beyond will determine whether I can make money or whether I would not make money. And when you understand how to read, and I really mean that, read these charts, you will be able to tell what it's trying to do the next day, the next week, the next month, so that you can say with confidence, okay, wow, this thing is telling me it's ready to do something tomorrow. And when it's telling you it's ready to do that thing, then it's time for you to start making trade and decisions. And so that's why I call it the right side, because our analysis is based on what is this stock telling me to do tomorrow. I don't know what it's telling me what it's going to do tomorrow, which is the right side of the chart. I don't want to trade it at all. But once I can get a very clear understanding that this is what it's trying to do tomorrow, this is what it's trying to do next week, then and only then, and that's how we came up with the name Right Side Trading.
I got it, because, yes, hindsight is 20/20, and anybody just about can look at the past statistics and give all sorts of explanations for what happened. But how about the future prediction? There's where the key is.
Absolutely.
This is quite interesting.
And I tell people this all the time. You cannot make money from the past. You can analyze the past, but at the end of the day, you only make money forward, which is the right way. So the key is, can you tell me? And I have to tell you, Tony, so many tell me what this stock is going to do tomorrow. Tell me what it's going to do tomorrow. If you cannot tell me what it's going to do tomorrow, now, then I don't know if you can really say that you know how to trade. But at the same time, people say, well, can you really tell what the stock is going to do tomorrow? And the answer is yes. Is it always going to be like that? No. So it's not always, but there are some things. And I might be digressing just a little bit, but one of the things that I say is, you know, it's kind of like reading a novel, okay? I can pick up any book. I don't know what the whole book is going to talk about. But if I pick up chapter one and I start reading the headline and it says how to make money, okay, step number one, okay? And I look at it and I say, hey, this book is about how to make money. And you tell me, well, how do you know that? Well, because I read it. Well, what do you mean you read it? It said it right there. It said it's going to teach you how to make money. So for somebody who's an illiterate who cannot read a book, they will be fascinated and say, well, wait a second, can you predict the future? No, I'm not predicting the future, but I can see what it's telling me here. It's telling me that it's going to tell you how to make money tomorrow. And so by being able to read these charts, and I really mean that, you can learn how to read these charts, you will be able to see what it's telling you it's going to do. If it doesn't tell you anything, or you cannot understand what it's telling you, guess what? You don't trade.
I got that. I like that. Let's go from this point and let's talk about the stock market. Wally, could you tell us about the stock market in the most simplest of terms?
Sure. So here's how I describe the stock market. The stock market is no different from any other type of business, okay? It's just a different type of trade. Whether you trade in the real estate market, whether you trade service industries, whether you offer photography services, whether you have a retail store, the stock market is no different from that, okay? The interesting thing is inventory, okay? It's inventory that you have to buy, you put on the shelf, and then you have an expectant date that you want to sell it. Now, I know there's a lot of people that would like to buy stocks, hold it until the day they retire, and then cash out. So that's totally different. And to be honest, that's one way of trading the stock market. But it's not the only way of trading the stock market. The good thing about it is, hey, you know what? You have 30 years from now to do that. But the not so good thing about that is the fact that if you were trying to trade this as a business to make money to pay your bills, you're not going to wait 30 years from now to start paying your bills, okay? You need to know what type of stocks do I need to buy, just like if I was to go into a convenience store. Pick any convenience store, gas station, 7-Eleven, Walmart, whatever it is, okay? They buy those inventories they put on their shelves with a life expectancy of maybe selling it as quickly as possible, hopefully no more than a month, okay? And why are they doing that? Because they want quick turnovers. You don't ever see a convenience store buying inventory and say, hey, you know what? I have a gas station. I just bought some cookies over here. I don't plan on selling these cookies until I retire 30 years from today. Nobody who has a convenience store would do that, okay? And they expect to pay their bills. So in the same sense, depending on how you're trying to invest, if you're trying to invest for the long haul, if you were the guy who wanted to buy a Monet or a Mona Lisa painting and say, I'm going to put this and it's a decoration and it's an investment that is going to stay in my family generations forever, that's something totally different. But you know that that picture is not feeding you. That picture is not paying your monthly bills. However, if you're trying to pay your monthly bills, okay, buying that Mona Lisa picture is not the way to go, okay? You need to go find those cookies, those chips, those soda bottles that you can put on your shelf for a month, 2 weeks, sell it, cash out, pay your bills, use some of that profit to go buy new stocks to put on your shelf again. So if you can see it that way, this is where now, you know, I talk to a lot of people and say, look, there are ways that you can buy certain stocks and within 2 to 6 weeks make consistent income, come back, do it over again. And so that's a simplified way of understanding the stock market, that there are two versions. The guys who want to do the long-term thing, but if you want to pay your bills, and you can pay your bills with the stock market, then you have to use a totally, totally different approach to doing that. And that's what I teach. That's what I focus on. Because at the end of the day, most of my students, most of the people I approach are all looking for ways to make money they can pay the bills. Some of them want to leave their jobs and be able to have something that can replace their income. Well, if that's what you want to do, buying for the long term, buying and hold, that's not the way to go. If what you're trying to do is make money now so you can pay your bills at the end of the month, then trading the way that I talk about, finding stocks to buy and sell them, that's the way you want to go.
Well, that's very cool. All right. You speak about the stock market also being like a huge ATM machine, Wally. What do you mean by that?
Very good. Man, you're just asking all the right questions. Okay.
Cool.
So here's what I mean by that. All right. When I started learning how to trade the stock market, and I really started seeing it for what it really was, and when you can read what the chart is telling you, when a stock is saying, hey, I am ready to start going up, meaning that I am ready to start taking the price of this stock higher. It was like, to me, it was like an epiphany. It was like finding the treasure. And I was like, oh my gosh. It's like it says you can go to an ATM machine and imagine this ATM machine has a PIN code. And it says, you know, if you come here on Tuesday, November 17th at 6 p.m. and you type PIN code, you can withdraw money as much as you want to, okay? That's how I see it. Because literally every stock would show you at some point in time when it's ready to go up. I call those the PIN codes. When I'm able to see those PIN codes that this stock is now showing me, then you know what? It's just a matter of going in there, trading that stock, and cashing out. Okay, and that's what I mean by like it's like a big ATM machine. And the reason why I say it's a big ATM machine, because you know there's over 8,000 stocks out there in the stock market. And almost every day I can just go and see, okay, which stock is showing me some kind of PIN code that I understand that I can read. Now, sometimes I don't understand the PIN code they put out. And if I don't understand that PIN code they put out, I don't trade it, okay? But once I see it and I say, oh, wait a second, oh, Amazon is just telling me that I need to go ahead and it's ready to go up in price. Great. Now that it's showing me that PIN code with accuracy that is actually ready to go in, and I know that that's the PIN code that is given me, then it's just a matter of me putting my money into Amazon, wait a couple of weeks, and cash out with profit. So that's what I mean by like it's like a big ATM machine, because once you're able to read the charts and you're able to see what this stock is communicating, and I like to use that word a lot, communicating, okay? Because I like to see the stocks tell me what it's trying to do. I don't try to, you know, wish anything upon the stock. I always just say, look, what is this stock telling me? And if I cannot understand what it's telling me, I don't do anything with it. But once I understand what it's telling me, that's when I take action. I go in there, punch in the PIN code, wait about a couple of weeks, and cash out.
I like that, Wally. Now, are you more focused in your trading school? Is it more focused on the technical analysis rather than the fundamentals? And at this point, tell us, what's the difference and why choose one over the other?
Okay. So let me tell you the difference between the two and why I picked one of them. Fundamental analysis, for those who are listening who might not understand what that means. Fundamental analysis is basically when you look at a stock and you say, okay, how much money did they make this year? How much revenues or sales did that company generate? What was their expenses? How much was their profit? Those are all fundamental analysis. And so people will look at that and say, okay, wow, this company is making a lot of money, is making a lot of profit. It has a lot of cash in the bank. It has a lot of customers. So they look at all this stuff and they say, well, you know, because it has a lot of customers, because it has a lot of money in a bank, it knows that the banks are willing to lend it money. Having access to money is not an issue. They're making products and they're selling these products like it's hotcakes. All this stuff will make them say, okay, I feel comfortable about this company because of all the numbers that I see. Okay, I know what's going on with that company. They might know something about the CEO and the deal that the CEO is trying to do with another company and all that stuff. Those are all fundamental analysis. Okay, you have to do a lot of research, try to figure out what they're trying to do. And then when they look at that, you'll hear them say things like the PE ratio and the earnings per share and all this kind of stuff. And so they take all that information, they start analyzing it with a little bit more complicated financial ratios that they add to that, and they say, okay, this company seems like it's a good company, and it seems like it can keep on making money over the years, so I want to go ahead and invest in this company, okay? That's fundamental analysis. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Matter of fact, I started with a fundamental analysis mentality, okay? Technical analysis is when you just look at the charts. I can care less who the company is. Most of the time, I don't even know what company I'm trading. All I know is like whatever this stock is showing me that it's ready to go up in price or it's showing me that it's ready to go down in price, okay? So technical analysis is when I start looking at the chart and I start looking at the way the chart is moving up and down and all those waves up and down and all that kind of stuff tells you certain things, okay? And it will show you because these stocks have a habit of repeating certain patterns. And so I look for patterns on these charts. And when I'm able to see these patterns and I start watching for those, then I can say, wow, okay, this pattern is emerging again. And based on this pattern with this stock, I know that it can do this and this and that. So I then go in and I trade based on those patterns that I see and other information that I see using certain tools and resources that I use on those charts. But it doesn't matter who that company is whatsoever. Like I said, most of the time, I don't even care who that company is. I don't care how much money they made or how much money they did not make. None of that stuff matters to me. All I care about is what is going on that chart. And here's where the technical analysis differs from fundamental. All right. Now, the fundamental guys, they would say technical analysis is risky. Technical analysis guys would say fundamental analysis is too boring and too slow. But here's my take on that. The reason why I chose technical analysis over fundamental analysis is simply this. With the technical analysis, at the end of the day, whatever these fundamental analysis guys do, they would end up saying, I'm either going to buy the stock because after analyzing everything, I'm either going to buy the stock or I'm not going to buy the stock. And when they decide to buy that stock, guess what happens? It would show on the chart on the technical side. Every single time they buy or they sell, it shows on the chart. And so now my job is simply to do this. I don't know who the guy is that's buying. It could be Warren Buffett, you know, the third richest man in the world. It could be Bill Gates that decided, hey, I'm going to load up on Google because he's, you know, he sees something about Google and he's going to put a whole lot of money into it. Whenever they do that, if I look at the chart of Google on that chart, that, wow, there's a lot of buying taking place, and there's a pattern emerging. Once that pattern starts emerging, I can see that and say, hey, I want to be buying. Now, I don't know if it's Warren Buffett. I don't know if it's Bill Gates. I don't know who it is, and it really doesn't matter. All I know is some big institution or somebody out there with a whole lot of money thinks that this stock is worth it. After they've done all their analysis, and here's the interesting thing. I don't have the resources that these guys have. Most of us don't have the resources that these guys have. They spend thousands, millions, tens of millions, in some cases hundreds of millions of dollars refining their tools and all these resources that they use to do their analysis on the companies that they decide to buy or not. And after doing all of that, they make a decision. When they make that decision, they can look at it and say, you know what, we've done all these research. They've got people from Yale and Princeton and Harvard that works for them, that they're paying these guys $250,000 a year. I don't have that to pay those guys to do that kind of research for me. When these guys come back with their 15-page report or 30-page report and say, you know what, it's time to start buying Google, and they make that decision and they call their broker and say, let's go in and make this decision. We want to start buying shares of this company. Guess what? It's going to show on the chart. And all I have to do now is once I see it on the chart, I say, hey, ding, 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 ding. They're buying. Here's an access code. Here's a PIN code. They're saying this stock is going to go up for whatever reason it is. And then I go in there and I start buying the same way too. Okay. And when they start saying, hey, you know what? We don't want to be part of this stock anymore, because after doing all our analysis, this is a dangerous company to be out of. They have to start taking their money out. Here's the good part of it. Because they're putting so much money into the market, they cannot buy as much as they want in one day. It takes them, in some cases, weeks and months to buy this. Well, a week is all I need. 2 weeks is all I need to pay my bill for this month. So as they keep on buying little by little for the next 2 weeks, for the next month, and they keep on driving the stock price up and up and up and up and up, I just put my own little money in there and do the same thing too, because now I can see that they are ready to take action. And when they get to that point and say, you know what, we are not buying anymore, we withdrawing all our money, guess what? They cannot take all their money out at one time. They have to take it out little by little, little by little, little by little. That's exactly what I saw in Best Buy. And I say, hey, these guys are beginning to take money out. I'm going to go ahead and do that. 3 weeks later, Best Buy, the announcement came out, oh, the insiders were selling. I didn't know the insiders were selling. But what I did see was that, wait a second, they setting up a pattern showing that they are taking money out of Best Buy. And as soon as I could see that, I didn't know who it was. It could have been Warren Buffett. It could be anybody. I just said, you know what, it's time to go ahead and get out of Best Buy. All right. 2 weeks later, the announcement came out that the CEOs and directors of Best Buy were actually selling their shares of Best Buy. Now, why they were selling it, I don't know, nor do I care. All I know is, like, when they started making that decision to start selling shares, it showed on the chart. I saw it and I said, get out of Best Buy. It's as simple as that.
That is very clever, Wally. Is there a ballpark percentage of that you are correct or right most of the time, or some percentage of the time?
Yes, actually, you know, when I first started, and here's the funny thing, I remember when I went to school and I would talk to my instructors, because I was very determined. I mean, I was very determined. I said, I wanted to know everything about this. And one of the things they said was that, you know, you need to have out of 10 trades, if you can get 4 trades right, you're doing well. And so 6 of them will go wrong, 4 will go right. And I had a problem with that number. And I told him that, and I said, that doesn't make any sense. And he said, well, here's the thing, Wally. Your goal is to make sure that those 4 that are right make so much money than the 6 that didn't, and that's how you do well. And I said, you know what? I cannot, you know, live with that. There's got to be a better way to do this. Because at the end of the day, there are people that know what's happening about these stocks before the general public knows about it. The only thing is, maybe we haven't done a good enough job to tell what that is doing. So I started refining my process. I saw after I finished school, and in the process of me refining it, and I guess just refusing to agree that, you know, 4 out of 10 trades was good, it got to a point where now, you know, if I place 10 trades, I don't expect more than 2 to go against me. Okay. If 1 goes against me, I'll give that up to, like, you know, that's just chance, you know, anything can happen kind of thing. But if I have 10 trades and I have a second trade go against me, then I know something is absolutely wrong. It's absolutely wrong either in my analysis of the stock, that I'm missing something, or something is going on fundamentally in that company that is shaking things up, that now it's causing me to read all the wrong information. But I truly believe, and this is what my record has been, if I put on 10 trades, 8 of them need to work, and there's a reason behind that, okay? Because I've studied certain stocks so well, I know when they're going to do what they need to do. Think about it this way. When I mentioned the fact that you have to look at the stock market as a business, I look at every stock as my customer, okay? It's a customer of mine, all right? Now, you can go out there and you can try to find as many customers as possible, okay? Or you can say, hey, I know this customer really well, and I want repeat business with this customer. And so because I want repeat business with this customer, man, for crying out loud, knows every behavior pattern of yours on your computer, okay? Why do they do this? Because they want to...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a technical difficulty, so stand by. We'll get Wally back on the line. This is Revenue Chat with your host, Tony D'Urso, talking with Wally Alopade, founder and creator of Right Side Trading. And we'll get him back on the air in just a moment, I'm sure. Please stand tuned. Stand by. One moment, please. Hello, Wally.
So, yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yes. So perhaps take it from some certain point where you were discussing your percentage of being right and wrong on this and you're drawing some parallels to that. Go ahead.
Sure. So what I was saying is that I have a percentage of 8 times out of 10, I expect the stock to work. If it doesn't, then I know there's something wrong. I know there's something wrong fundamentally with the company or in my analysis, okay? Because when you know the behavior patterns of a particular stock so well, you can tell when it's going to do what it needs to do, when it's not going to do what it needs to do. And that's kind of like what I teach. I teach people how to understand. I call it like the behavior pattern. It's like a profiling of each stock. I would not trade any stock unless I profiled it, okay? And I know their behavior pattern. And it's so different from what most people try to do, which is they're looking for that next hot tip. I don't trade based on hot tips. I can care less about hot tips. I want to know that stock's behavior pattern. Once I know that stock's behavior pattern, I can go in there. I know when it's supposed to go up. I know when it's supposed to go down. And I make my decisions. And so for that reason and that reason alone, I'm able to have a better success rate. Now, do I trade that particular stock every single day? No. But when those time comes, the best opportune time for those stocks to go up, that's when I enter that trade. The best opportune time to get out, I stay away from that trade. And that's what has led me to the success that I have.
I love it. Wally, you say that trading the stock market is better than real estate or starting a business. Why would anyone choose the stock market instead?
Good question. Very good question. Here's the reason why. I've been in real estate, I've been in business, and I've been in the stock market. And I can tell you by far, it's the best ever. And here's the reason why. When I was in real estate, okay, it was very capital intensive, okay? The reason why I lost everything was borrowed from the bank to buy this real estate. I didn't have the money to start. People who try to get do not have the money to start investing in real estate. So what do? They have good credit, which is what I did at the time. They go out there to get loans against these properties, try to manage it, da-da-da-da-da. And if any of them had the experience that I had, my tenants, you know, were like, I could have swore these tenants were all like, you know, ganging up against me and just hated me. And, you know, the things that they did just drove me crazy, so much headache that I had. But I did it all and I kept on pushing all because, hey, real estate, you know, everybody's being taught that real estate is one of the best things you can ever get involved in. But the headaches that I went through was immense. And at the end of the day, when they could not pay their mortgage payments, their rents because they lost their jobs, I could not afford to pay the mortgage back. The mortgage company took everything away from me, okay? So that's one aspect of real estate that I said, you know what? In order to get involved in real estate, you have to borrow money for the most part, okay? And it's very – now, on the other hand of that is you get involved in real estate and the returns. Most people think that the returns on real estate are really high, which is not shabby, by the way. Okay? When you compare – the returns that you can make on the stock market as opposed to returns that you can make on real estate. And don't listen to that stuff that you hear on TV about, oh, yeah, you know, the average in the stock market is only 10% and all that kind of stuff. People that are making, you know, 1,000%, you know, I just had a student that just did, you know, close to like 600% in 4 days, okay? You don't hear about those type of returns in real estate, but you can hear about them a lot more in the stock market. And one of the things that I saw when it just really blew my mind when I first wanted to get involved in the stock market was a guy, Ed Sokota. Ed Sokota was a guy who has been trading for quite some time. And they mentioned in a 16, this guy made over 250,000% return. Okay? 250,000%. I'll be honest with you, Tony. When I read that, it was the first time I even knew people could make that kind of money or kind of return, okay? 250,000% return, not $250,000 percent return. That just blew my mind away. That you mean tell me that you can make that type of return in the stock market? I never heard that in real estate. I've never heard anybody say they made that kind of return. Some people can play around with like, oh yeah, you know, I made infinity return and all that stuff. Oh, that's all fine and dandy. You can do the same thing too in the stock market. But to be able to make that type of return, it's amazing. And I've seen people over and over, students of mine, same thing over and over. Almost every month we introduce somebody into what we call the 100% club, because these are people in 1 month made 100% return on their money by the market. So to me, it's better than that. Now, business, same thing too. In business, you have to deal with the headaches of employees and headaches of marketing your business and putting up signs and doing all this kind of stuff, paying your rent and all this kind of stuff. Well, you don't have to worry about all that stuff when it comes to the stock market. You literally just have a computer and sit behind your desk at home. If you want to open up a small office, you can do that. Whatever your preference is or your prerogative, you can do that, but you don't have to deal with that. Every time I come into the office and I place a trade, I don't have to put signs out there saying, you know, come buy the stock. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do any of that stuff. I don't have to spend any money on marketing or any money on budgeting or any money on all that stuff. It's just simply go there, look to see what stocks are for sale that shows me that they have a PIN code that I should be buying, and then I buy. And if I don't see anything, I come back the next day. It's as simple as that. So when I look at those two things, I say, you know what? It's much better. And you can start with as little as $1,000 or even less in some cases. Whereas with real estate, and you're not putting up your credit at risk at any point in time. Case in point, most people know that you can rent properties in real estate, but most people do not know that you can also rent out your stocks. Okay? You can literally rent out your stocks to thousands of people in some cases tens of thousands of people willing to rent your stock each month from you, and you don't even have to place no ads out there whatsoever. They're literally at the click of a button, and they will pay you to rent out your stocks, okay? You don't have to go to no banks. You don't have to borrow against nobody's. You don't have to put no collateral down, nothing. It's just simply go in there with whatever amount of money you have, whether it's $500, $1,000, $10,000, whatever it is, go in there, buy the stock, rent it out to somebody who wants to rent it out to you, okay? So to me, it's like, wow. And the money you make off of that, in most cases, beats the amount of money you will make from renting out a property. So if you borrowed $100,000 from a bank, but you put $100,000 in a stock, I guarantee you will make more money renting out that $100,000 stock than you would on that real estate property that you spend that money on. Guaranteed. And that's why I said it's far better. It's far better. It's just unfortunate that people just don't know.
That sounds amazing. So you could buy it, you could buy a stock and purchase it, and then rent that out to multiple people. Can you tell a little bit more about how that works?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very, for those who are in the know of the stock market, it's a very common thing. You would see Warren Buffett does that all the time. A lot of the wealthy people, they do that all the time, all the time. Okay. They will buy stocks that they have. And it's so sad because there's so many people that have stocks sitting in a 401k doing absolutely nothing. And in my mind, I say, like, why would you have a property, you know, just imagine having a property that you can rent out, but you leave it vacant. And you're just leaving it vacant because you had no idea that you could rent out that property. It's ludicrous, right? Well, it's the same way too in stocks. I see too many people have stocks being passed down to them from their parents and all that stuff, and they don't do anything about renting these stocks out every month, okay? But you can literally go in there, all right? All you have to do is call up the brokers. Now, they won't use the word rent, okay? They have other terminology they use, but it's the same concept, okay? When I first learned about it, it's a concept called cover calls. You can go out there and say, hey, I want to write a cover call against this stock. Most people have no idea what that means, but it simply is renting out your stock. If you call up your broker and say, I want to rent out, he will laugh at you and say, what are you talking about? But if you go to him and say, hey, I want to write a cover call on my stock, all of a sudden, he knows exactly what you want to do. He wouldn't even ask you any questions. Say, okay, boom, 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 boom. How many of your stocks do you want to, you know, cover or write a cover call on? And that's it, okay? Now, there's more into it. You need to know a lot about how that stuff works. But the fact is, it's available, okay? The fact is, it's done. People can do that all the time. And people just don't know about it.
I like it. That's That's quite something. I like that a lot. Now, but I do have to say, you know, while most people, I think, really are afraid of the stock market. And
that's correct.
Isn't that like the biggest concern? So how do you deal with that?
One of the biggest things, you know, it's funny that you actually asked that question, because not too long ago, I was actually at a function, and as I was meeting people and greeting and everything, of course, the topic always comes up, what do you do? And so I was asked, what do I do? And I said, I trade the stock market. And the first reaction I got from this lady, I kid you not, Tony, was like, ooh, wow. Oh, man, are you sure you want to keep on doing it? What do you mean by that? She said, well, isn't the stock market risky? I say, yeah, anything is risky. You know, buying real estate is risky. You know, I can tell you that because, hey, I lost everything. I lost everything in real estate. So don't tell me real estate is not risky. Okay. Buying a business is risky. You know how many business goes out of business every single year making no money? So don't tell me that, you know, buying a business or owning a business is not risky as well. Okay. So here's the question. How is the stock? And so I said, let me ask you a question. Would you ever buy a house without getting insurance? She said, of course not. I said, well, why would you get insurance? Yeah, because if anything happens. So I said, so you are trying to minimize the risk of being exposed to, you know, events that are beyond your control. She said, yes. Okay. Now let me ask you this again. What about a car? Would you get insurance on your car? She said, yeah, without a shadow of doubt. What kind of question is that? Exactly. I said, okay, good. I said, so now let me ask you this. Would you get insurance on your stocks? She said, huh? What do you mean? You mean you can get insurance on stocks? I said, oh, yes, you can. Most people never know that you could do that. I have on my wall in my office, I put up a plaque over here and said, you know, some things you need to know about the stock market. So people stop asking me all these questions about how risky the stock market is. It's like, first of all, get insurance, okay? Because you would get insurance on your house without thinking twice. You would get insurance on your car without thinking twice. But then when it comes to the stock market, for some reason, nobody wants to get insurance. And then they start complaining when they lose everything and they say, oh, man, the stock market is risky. I lost it all. Well, it'll be like you owning a house and never get insurance. The house burns down. The insurance company doesn't pay you anything because you never had insurance. And they say, buying a house is risky. No, it's not. You did not take the appropriate steps that you needed to take to make sure that you were protected. And the fact is, they give you that opportunity to buy stocks and get insurance on these stocks. I can buy a $50 stock, and I pay 8 cents every month for insurance on that stock. And that 8 cents will protect me, saying that if that stock should – I don't care if we have a terrorist attack in the United States and that stock goes down to zero tomorrow. I don't care if that stock goes bankrupt tomorrow. That 8 cents that I paid on that $50 stock will protect me from losing that whole $50. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, just like in a house, you know, if you had a house that's worth $100,000, you pay your premiums every month, you know, the house burns down, you might not get the whole $100,000 back. Maybe they'll give you $95,000. It's the same thing too. So maybe out of that 50, they give you $47 back. Okay. So you take a $3 loss, but the fact is you don't lose everything. So here's what I say. Anytime I meet anybody, and I can tell people who have no idea about the stock market with one simple thing, if they say, wow, I don't like the stock market, it's risky, you can lose everything, I automatically know they don't know nothing about the insurance that you can get on the stock. Pure and simple. Okay? When you understand that, say, wait a second, Wally, you mean I can get insurance on the stock? Yes. Wait a second, Wally, you mean I can rent out my stocks every month? Yes. So when you start seeing that, it's like, how is that any different from any business? It's not. But people are not educated. They don't know this stuff. So they go out there. They leave their stocks exposed to whatever happens. They don't know when to buy. They don't know when to sell. The stock goes down. It crashes. It goes to zero. They lose everything. And they say, hey, the stock market is risky. No, you should have got insurance.
That's amazing. It's opening my eyes on some things that I did not know about. Perhaps they're closely guarded secrets. Very cool, Wally. Very clever of you to go through the school of hard knocks to figure all that out.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
There's another aspect of this, like real estate, that I wanted to touch upon. It's a common practice, as everyone knows, in real estate, very common practice to flip properties. And do you teach how to flip stocks at your school?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the best thing that could have happened to me, Tony, was the fact that I was in real estate. You know, because being in real estate and understanding that industry and all the things that people do in that industry, I literally just took the same thing and applied it to the stock market. Now, the interesting thing is even the school that I went to and a lot of people who trade the stock market, they don't, for some reason, I don't know why they didn't put the two together, you know. But the fact is, it's there. I mean, some people connect the dots, other people don't. Most people never connect the dots. But I was blessed enough to be able to connect those dots and say, wait a second, it's like the same thing in real estate. So guess what? You can do the same thing too. Flipping properties was one of the biggest things that people did in real estate, okay? Well, guess what? You can do the same thing too in the stock market. Matter of fact, that's one of the biggest things that I do is I flip stocks now, okay? Very rarely would you see me hold on to a stock for too long because it's just too easy to flip these stocks. And guess what? I don't have to borrow money from nobody. I don't have to do anything but just go in there, find which stocks I want to flip, and flip them within a week, sometimes in a day. You know, I can flip it. Sometimes I wait 2 weeks to flip it. But here's the thing about it. The interesting thing is, and the word here is options. Most people don't know what the word options is when it comes to the stock market. And for those who hear about it and say it's risky, which it is, okay? Because if you don't know what you're doing, you can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. But once you understand what to do, it's simply just flipping real estate, okay? You go in there, you tie up the property, okay, with a contract, and you have to, like, flip that property within a certain period of time, okay? It's the same thing, too, with the stocks. You go in there, you tie up that stock for a period of time, and then you flip it. Now, if you don't know what you're buying, if you don't know what stocks is going to do what, then, yes, it's a dangerous thing. But once you understand that, which is why we teach those things, how to read what the stock is ready to do, you can just go in there and flip it. So case in point, or the same example I used earlier, a stock that is worth $50, okay? I can go out there, and that same $50 stock, I can put a contract down on that stock for $1. So where everybody else is paying $50, I can put $1. Does anybody have a dollar? Okay, yes. Put a dollar down, okay? Now, what ends up happening is the stock goes up value from $50 to maybe $52. That deposit, that contract that you put onto that stock for $1, now the value of that one contract, because now the stock has gone from $50 to $52, that same contract within that whatever period of time has now gone from $1 to $1.50 or $1 to $2, okay? You have just literally doubled your money, okay? So if I had $50 and I could buy one share of that stock, or I can take that same $50 and put it into 50 of those type of contracts, okay, at $1 each. 2 weeks later, the stock goes up to $52. The person who had that stock at $50 made a $2 profit. I put $1 down. It went up to $2. I just doubled my money, walked away with $50 by flipping that stock within 2 weeks, whereas the guy who owned the stock is still holding on to the stock at $52. Okay? And it's as simple as that. I mean, I'm trying to simplify it as much as possible. If anybody can think about how you flip real estate, it's literally the same way you can do it. And one of the things that you do, it's called options in the stock market. But people do that all day, every day. Matter of fact, it's becoming one of the hottest things in the stock market now. They say that most brokers are making more of their money through commissions of these options that are being flipped on stocks than the stock market itself.
Wow. That's amazing. There's another concept in stocks. It's a common in the retail industry. You buy one, get one. How does that apply in the stock market, Wally?
Oh, Tony, you're just making my day today. I mean, I am so grateful to, like, you know, you having me on your show, because, I mean, people need to hear these things, and it's unfortunate that a lot of people don't know about so much of these things. Now, the buy one, okay? And what happens whenever a store, you know, advertises the buy one, get one? You know, they put up big old signs, you know, colorful signs out there, you know, if you buy this shoe, you're going to get the second one off. BOGO, buy one, get one, the BOGO. Everybody knows that in retail stores. Well, guess what? The same thing happens in the stock market, okay? There are companies, now, unfortunately, they don't have, you know, the retail stores where they put the signs out there and all that stuff, but there are companies that will literally make an announcement saying that, hey, on whatever date they decide, on this day, they will be having a buy one, get one. Okay, and that terminology, most people don't understand it. Once again, this is just me trying to, like, you know, simplify things, is called stock splits. So if you ever heard about a stock split, that's literally what that is. It's a buy one, get one. Okay, And now the same stock that was owned for $50, they would say, hey, on, you know, December 1st, 2015, this stock that is going for $2, we're going to do a buy one, get one. Okay. And what's going to happen now is they're going to, they would say that you can, for that $50, you get one share. Now they'll reduce the price to $25 each. And they say for, so that same $50 that you had, you can pay $25 for it and get one, or pay $50 and now get two stocks for it. But basically you pay $25 per share for that stock now, rather than $50 per share for that stock. Okay. Now, some people who understand what that is, they'll look at that and say, well, the value doesn't really change. I still spend $50. That's true. Let me ask you this. Do you not think that whenever any of these stores do these buy one, get one free, they haven't already factored in the fact that, you know, you are actually paying, you know, the same, pretty much the same price that it would have been if they didn't have that buy one, get one? Okay. But not only that, here's the interesting thing about it. Through my analysis and through my studies, all right, and I say this not because I want people to go out there and try to do it, because there's so much more that you need to learn about it. So I'm saying this with a disclaimer. Do not go out there and do this just because Wally's saying it now. But here's what I've noticed. More than likely, what would happen is when they offer these buy one, get ones, more than likely, and I'm not saying anybody needs to go out there and do this until you know how to do this the right way, that same stock that went from $50 and now they're selling it for $25 a piece, you can get two for the same price of one, will typically go back up to the same price that it was within a year or two before it had that buy one, get one sale. So the very first stock I ever bought was Nike, okay? And this was back in 2012. When I bought Nike, it was because of that same reason. At the time, Nike was going for $100 per share. On November 26, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around that time frame, Nike announced that they were going to be having a stock split, or maybe it was December, I can't remember. But November 26 was the first day I ever bought a stock. Nike said they were going to have a stock split, which was to buy one, get one. I bought Nike. They did the stock split. You know, now I had two shares of Nike, okay? 2 years later, if anybody goes and checks to see what the price of Nike is right now, it's now back up to $100. When they did that split, or that buy one, get one, back in December 2012, it went from $100 to $50. Now Nike's back up to $100 again. Okay, so in a 2 year period, you have just doubled your money, and that's basically what this buy one get one is.
Nice, very nice. I like that. Let's talk about something else about stocks.
Sure.
Getting residuals with stocks. How does that work?
Very good. Okay. All right. So getting residuals with stock. A lot of time I hear people, and I'm not knocking any industry. I think business is phenomenal in whatever industry that you're in. But I used to be part of the multi-level marketing industry, and I didn't do so well with the multi-level marketing industry. But I remember every time that I get approached by somebody in the multi-level marketing, one of the things that they would say is, hey, you know what, if you build this right, you get residual income, residual income, residual income. Matter of fact, I met a guy after I started trading the market. It's like, well, he still prefers multi-level marketing because simply because of the residual income that he can get to build. And I said, you know what, you're right. But guess what? You can do the same thing too in the stock market. Okay. Most people don't know that you can get residual income in the stock market. And actually, it's one of the better ways of making money in the stock market is through residual income. The only difference is, rather than calling it residual income, they call it dividends. When you get dividends, it's literally residual income that you are getting from owning that stock. Well, let me ask you this. Did you do any work to get that dividend? No. All you had to do was buy that stock. You didn't have to manage anything. At the end of every quarter, every 3 months, they'll send you a check for the companies that actually write the dividends. They will send you a check. So if you know how to do this the right way, okay, my wife and I, we were sitting, and I wish I could have done this back then. Back in 2003, 2004, Apple, the company Apple, was going for like about $1, $2 per share, okay? If you were able to buy Apple, then now this is adjusted to stock because they did a, you know, this buy one, get one thing. They did that back in earlier this year or late last year. they did a 7-to-1. So you can buy one, get seven free kind of thing. Okay. So when you adjust the price, it is adjusted to like about $1 back in those days. Okay. In 2003, 2004. Now, Apple gives dividend every 3 months. If you were to like just own $10,000, you put it into Microsoft, did nothing. I mean, not Microsoft, Apple. Put it into Apple, did nothing else from that point on. Okay, nothing else since 2003, 2004. Today, you'd be sitting with some, you know, and I don't quote me on the numbers, but it's around approximately, you know, because of the way Apple went up from $1 to $100 now, you're looking at, you know, that $10,000 would turn into about $1 million, first of all. And second of all, the residual income that you'd be making every month, every 3 months, will be approximately anywhere between $30,000 to $40,000 a year, a quarter, $30,000 to $40,000 a quarter. Okay, that they'll be sending you a check for owning $1 million shares, $1 million worth of Apple shares. They'll be sending you about $30,000 to $40,000 today, every 3 months.
That's
now,
amazing.
If that's not residual income, I don't know what that is. Okay, and I'm talking about if all you did was just put $10,000 in Apple back in 2003, 2004, and never did anything else. I have one of my students, he's a nurse, and the nurse that he takes care of unfortunately just passed away. But before she passed away, that lady never worked a day in her life, okay? And the reason why was because her grandfather had bought stocks in particular shares that paid these dividends, these residual income. He kept them and never sold those stocks. Passed it on to his son. His son kept it, which is her father, and when he passed away, passed it on to her. That stock was bringing so much money every single quarter that she never had to work a day of her life to the day she passed away. All because
amazing.
The father had done that. Residual income, never worked a day in her life. Finished college, she got the inheritance as far as these stocks are concerned, and her dad just told her, do not sell these stocks, just keep on collecting the residual income. As long as they keep on writing it. If they ever stop writing the residual income, take the money out, put it in another stock that pays residual income, and just move on. And that's all she did. She never worked a day in her life, and she got all her bills paid, lived in a nice house, never did anything. Okay? This is something that people can literally start learning how to do and then pass that on to their children and their children's children, because it is being done out there. It really is being done out there.
Wow. That's just an amazing amount of information and incredible stories. Wally, really appreciate it. And we're very close to wrapping up. I'll just take one subject. You wrote an ebook. What will readers gain from reading that?
Well, the biggest thing that people would gain is opening up their eyes. And I hope that's what I've done even here, is opening up their eyes to the potential of what the stock market can do. Now, this is just the beginning. You know, there's still a lot of learning process along the way. So, you know, as excited as I am, I do want to be realistic and let people know that, hey, you know what? You just can't just go out there and start doing whatever you want. No. You know, you need to be educated along the way. And that's what we offer. So in that book, you read all this stuff, but you see real-life examples of myself, students that I've had, that just simplifies this whole process. And wait a second, you know what? I can do this. It's really not that hard. Okay, it really isn't that hard. Once you understand what to do, it really isn't that hard. And that's what you get from reading that book. Okay. And so I wrote that in the sense of my own experience and the experiences of my students that I have taught.
Wow. And can that ebook be acquired from your site? What is it, rightsidetrading.com?
If they go to rightsidetrading.com, right now the ebook, I think I took the link down, but send me an email from there and I will get you the information on that. Definitely. I can definitely pass that on.
Sounds great. Well, Wally, thank you very much. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. Very informative.
Likewise.
I've learned a bit about stocks and I've learned so much more. You've made it simple. That's really, really the thing, is you just really simplified it. Thank you so much, Wally.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, too. Thank you.
It was great. And again, everyone, Wally's site is rightsidetrading.com. Okay. Thank you again, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have Hans Dieterle, financially independent stock trader, who says, hard work beats talent, when talent doesn't work hard. His dream is to build one of the most successful active managed investment firms in Florida, and he's well on his way. Hans gives us some basics on good, successful business on the next episode of Revenue Chat. This is Tony D'Urso, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. Get the book, Easy Sales Procedures, for you and all of your business contacts at tonydurso.com. Until next time, and remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely. Hi, this is Tony D'Urso, author of the new book, Easy Sales Procedures. You know, in my career, I've made impressive record-breaking sales forays into real estate, collectibles, insurance technology, and other varied industries. My accomplishments include raising $3.25 million in a six-month period. Now, despite what we've been told, sales is an art. There are sales procedures that can be applied precisely as a science, but in essence, it's truly an art. There are fundamentals that you need in place that will help you with your sales, marketing, and business. Get Easy Sales Procedures to help put your business into proper perspective. You know, too many people seem to make sales complicated. Hey, it's easy. All you need are some basics and three words: open, agree, and get. That's it. That's EasySalesProcedures.com. This book will endow you with the simple truths at the core of being a sales master, and also contains salesman training drills that, when practiced, demonstrate how to interest any person in anything. These simple procedures can be applied by anyone from any walk of life, because in modern day society, every person is involved in interesting or selling someone something. That's Easy Sales Procedures. Get your copies now at a low price from EasySalesProcedures.com. Order enough for all your employees, too. Here's to volume sales success for your life and business.